Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Interspecies Communications here at Car Talk Plaza.
I like it. Interspecies. Oh.
Yeah, here's an interesting article that appeared a couple of weeks ago in Newsweek, I think. It's a blurb about a book called Spoken Cat, where author and wacko, apparently, Alexandra Sellers claims to have interpreted cat language.
She's nuts.
And, well, in her book, she tells you how to speak cat. For instance, ma means cut that out, and means bring me some cream. And I happen to know from my own experience that ma means, oh, no, not down the laundry chute again. Can't I take the stairs? Anyway, this is obviously silliness, but it got me thinking that if interspecies communication is possible between humans and felines, why not between humans and automobile mechanics?
Yeah.
So
I like it.
With my vast expertise and having spent years in the mechanic's natural habitat of grease and
grime, it would be good for humanity if there were communication between those two species.
Well, so you know how to interpret some of the sounds that you hear in the shop.
Yeah.
So I thought I would teach the general public a few expressions that can be used and or understood when talking to one's mechanic. For instance, you listen carefully to the inflection so you don't...
I'm going to try to guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Wait, do that again. That little upward inflection at the end.
Yeah.
No idea.
That means, hi, how are you?
Oh, all right. I was looking for some deeper meaning, but I guess that was stupid.
We're starting off slow because this is tough.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's different?
Yeah, the first one was, mm-hmm.
Oh, that was...
This is, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That means, I think I know what's wrong with this car.
No, you're going too deep. It means, fine, thanks.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is the meaning of life, and why are we here on this planet?
Mm-hmm means clutch job.
Boat payment. Well, how do you say boat payment?
Where are we getting to that?
You are. Yeah. Oh, you are in a lot of trouble.
That's right. It, which equates to?
Boat payment.
Many boat payments.
Many boat payments. Yeah, this is good. I like it.
Yeah.
A whole boat.
There you go.
A liner.
Here's one more.
The transmission fell on my foot.
There you go.
Not the laundry chute again.
And none of these expressions should be confused with.
Let me feel it again now. I know
that's the sound you make after we do takeout from Sam's. Anyway, if you'd like to call us about your car or communication with your mechanic, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
To whom are we speaking?
Tennessee.
Is that your name or where you live?
That's my name.
Tennessee. And where do you live, Tennessee?
Buffalo, New York.
Well, that's funny. I guess it's better to be a name Buffalo.
Yeah, that would be.
That's my little daughter, Buffalo. How about Warthog? Wild boar.
So how did you wind up with a name like Tennessee?
It's a family name. It was my great-grandmother's name.
Are there other people in your family named after states, or is this just you?
Just me.
Just Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Auntie Arkansas and...
So what's
up?
What's happening? Yeah.
Well, I have a 1989 Volkswagen Jetta, automatic transmission.
Yeah.
And I'm calling because it has an intermittent problem, and it's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
It misses, but it's not consistent, and I've had it into a shop a couple of times to look at, and they can't figure out what the problem is.
What are the circumstances under which it misses?
Sometimes it misses at high speeds when I have a constant pressure on the gas pedal, like 60 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Good, I like that.
And all of a sudden it'll start going, that's good. There's two things I got right away.
Okay. And sometimes the gas tank is full and sometimes it's empty.
Right. How about when the engine's warm and when the engine's cold?
Sometimes when it's cold, sometimes when it's warm.
How about on hills?
No, I don't drive on hills. I don't have any hills around me, so I don't know.
There are no hills in Tennessee?
She's in not in Tennessee. In she's in Buffalo, you dope.
I knew that.
Oh, you're testing her.
I was just testing if she knew
see
her name
was
in
Buffalo.
See
if she was a phony or not.
Okay.
And it does it also at slow speeds when I'm coming to a stop, especially, and when I'm at a stoplight. It's hard to keep it going. I usually have to put, it's an automatic transmission, so I put it into neutral or park and rev it up a little so it doesn't stall.
Has it ever happened when the engine was ice cold?
Yes.
Damn!
Very cold, in fact.
Really?
Yeah, it was like 30 degrees here, and I turned it on. I let it warm up like 30 seconds, and it was sputtering.
Oh, that could be something different.
Yeah. And how many times all told has this happened?
Probably, it's been going on for 6 weeks, and in the last 3 weeks, it's been happening every day.
Ah.
Now, how sure are you that it happens with the tank full?
Very sure, because I usually have my tank above half.
Tennessee,
I'll ask you again, how sure are you? And is there any way I can talk you out of this stupid
well, maybe
answer?
Maybe not absolutely full. Like 40 miles into a new tank is when it starts.
That's pretty full. I think that pretty much eliminates your ideas.
Yeah. Well, not entirely.
See, she didn't eliminate my ideas with the cold business because, I mean, it could have just stalled out and sputtered because it was so cold.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is it's getting worse and worse.
Well, you know, there are some ground connections on the that run to the cylinder head on this car.
Okay.
And I hope they've cleaned those because if they're not making proper connection, they can make the car behave just like this.
Okay.
So they should check those.
Okay.
There are some simple things,
and
too.
Usually corrosion because they're right near, I believe they're right near the water outlet.
Okay.
And sometimes corrosion builds up there, and it can cause this symptom. So that's easy to check in 5 minutes to fix, and that may fix it. And the other thing that comes to mind, and it's not easy to diagnose, is an intermittent fuel pump relay. And we replace a lot of these on Volkswagens.
Okay.
Because when the relay goes bad, it can do exactly the same thing. A momentary interruption in the flow of electricity from the relay to the pump makes the pump shut down, and boom.
Okay.
The engine will either miss until the pump comes back, or it'll actually stall out and then restart again.
Okay.
And you should have them, if they can't figure anything else out, have them throw a relay in there.
Okay.
And you know what else I like?
What?
The coil.
Do you? I've been fond of the coil myself. I guess it's just its inherent shape.
Are you a coilophobe?
I asked them to check the coil because my father told me that my father said that coils go intermittently, and I asked them, two separate mechanics, and they said, no, they don't go intermittently. If they go, they go.
No, that's not true. They can fail and come back.
Your father is right.
But generally, within 6 weeks' time, it would have degraded.
Well, it has. It's gotten worse today. Now it's happening every day, Tennessee.
But it's unlikely to happen when the engine's stone cold.
Well, it didn't really happen when the engine was stone cold. That was a red herring. Tell them to check the coil. They're wrong about it going immediately like that. It doesn't go without any warning. It can give you warning.
Yeah, you know what you need to do? What you really need is you need to start dating a guy that owns a parts store.
Yeah,
I think that might be the solution to your problem. You can try a coil one night, then you can try a relay, and pretty soon you'll have the car fixed, and then you can break up with him.
Right.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, our pleasure.
I'll try it, and I hope it fixes.
Me too.
Okay.
See you, Tennessee.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Steve. I'm calling from Amherst, Massachusetts.
Hey, Steve. What's going on?
All right. I got a 93 Eagle Summit wagon, and it's developed a twitch.
Yeah.
Eagle Summit. For those of you who don't know, the Eagle Summit is the closest relative to the closest known relative to the Mitsubishi Expo, of which I am a proud owner.
All right, good. So can you tell me what part is twitching?
What's twitching? What's going on?
Okay, so here's the thing. The car has outside rear view mirrors, and when you're driving maybe 40 miles an hour or more, usually, you know, sort of highway driving, not so much in town, and you turn a little bit, just turn the steering wheel a few degrees either direction, the passenger side mirror starts to twitch about once every second. Twitch, 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 making kind of a clicking sound. Everybody in the car is distracted, and of course you can't really see out of the mirror.
If you were looking in the mirror as it twitched, what would you see?
You know, you see that the view behind the car gradually changes, so it goes a little, moves a little bit.
And it's changing always in the same direction.
Yeah.
Going
yeah.
further and further away from the car or closer and closer
I
to
think
the car?
I think it goes so that you see more of the car and less of, you know, the
so you could see your mother-in-law putting her lipstick on in the back seat. Sooner or later.
Yeah, yeah, that's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you have the accident?
I bought the car 3 years ago, and it seemed like it was in good shape, and I haven't had an accident since then.
You have not?
No. Well, you're going to have an accident. And mirror going like this.
And when did this twitching start?
It's been a while, like probably over the last year, and I really noticed it. My wife and I went up to Maine last summer, and that's when we really noticed it a lot.
And exactly when does it happen? You're driving along on our road.
Yeah. Yeah, so then you just turn, you know, maybe let's say you turn left a little bit. The road just, you know, turns, and you turn left, and then all of a sudden it starts. Now, if you turn the wheel back, especially, you know, pretty hard right, it will stop. So now you're ending up, you know, heading over towards the ditch.
Oh, you must be fun to drive back.
Well, and I was thinking that, you know, state police might really notice this. So I'm totally going to get it fixed, and I know I should take it in. But I thought, I really am curious, like, how can that be, that turning the steering wheel does that?
Well, how many people drive the car?
Just two, my wife and I.
How tall is your wife?
Short, 5'2".
How tall are you?
6'1".
You ever think of getting married again? To a taller woman?
Right. How is it dancing?
So are you suggesting it has something to do with there being someone in the passenger seat?
No. I'm suggesting a way to fix it so it doesn't happen again. But it requires cutting a wire.
Okay.
And I just wanted to make sure the mirror was in the right spot when you cut it.
Oh, like, I see.
Well, you could simply unplug the mirror by taking the door panel apart. That would be the chicken's way out.
Uh-oh.
But that wouldn't be any good, because then one of you would, unless you could compromise on the right position of the mirror, you could then keep it in one spot.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't be elegant.
Well,
elegant would be we tell you exactly what's wrong with it.
Well, I'm going to attempt to do that and just shut up for a minute. It could easily, I mean,
I have to warn you, Steve.
Yeah.
He's got to be digging deep for this answer.
I just want you to know. We're not going
to
be able to prove him wrong anyway. So.
Well, here's what I would use a systematic approach.
Oh, good.
The problem is either in the switch.
Yeah.
Or the relay, if it has a relay for this business.
Okay.
Or it's in the wiring between the switch and the door.
That seems pretty safe.
Okay. Now, that pretty much covers it.
Can I ask one other question? Does it ever happen if you're sitting in your driveway?
No.
Of course not. He has to be in motion.
Yeah.
He's got to be in motion.
He's going to be turning. So centrifugal force.
Good. That's
is
good.
At
that's
work
the,
here.
That's the point.
And
I would
start by merely pulling the switch out. That switch pops right out.
Yeah.
And then I would drive the car.
Ooh.
If you unplug that switch and the problem is gone, then I would assume that it's the switch.
Yes.
If that doesn't solve
Wouldn't that be simple?
Then you know it isn't the switch, and now you have the unenviable task of ripping the car apart, which we'll be happy to help you with because you're only right up the street in Amherst.
Okay,
we could be there in a couple of hours.
Oh, that sounds great.
You don't want to address the issue of how centrifugal force is causing this electronic no moving parts switch.
Yes.
Well,
right.
Look, if I wanted to address it
you
and I thought it was safe, I would have done it already. Of course, I didn't want to address it. Jeez. You ever hear the expression, let sleeping dogs lie?
Well, I
was about to say, bye, Steve. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Good luck.
No. I can't let you get away with that because I knew you were going to be digging deep.
That's why I think there's a relay involved, and I think the relay is the culprit.
And where would that relay be?
Are you kidding me?
Don't you own the same car, though?
I
a different model.
Oh,
different
yeah.
model.
Yeah, what year is yours? Mine's in 92.
Mine's 93.
Yeah.
I don't know where that relay is, but I'm sure you can find out easily.
Well, yours
enough.
Doesn't have power mirrors.
It does, too.
It does?
Yes, indeed.
That heap has power mirrors?
No, they all do. I don't think you can get it without power mirrors. It was a luxury car in its day.
Well, I mean, you're interested in fixing this yourself, huh?
Well, I mean, I just am mostly curious. I mean, I know I can take it to the mechanic and have him replace the whole thing.
Well, I mean, if the switch thing doesn't work, the next thing to do is open the door.
Here's the other possibility that has come to me recently.
Good.
In the last 10 seconds.
That when you're turning, it isn't necessarily centrifugal force, but somehow or another, something, maybe even the transmission or the linkage, is impinging upon a wire and grounding it and making the thing, completing the circuit like the switch would do. That's why I suggest taking the switch out, because I'm going to suggest that when you do that, it's not going to fix it. And that you have chafed wire someplace.
All righty.
It's a wire. I'm convinced of it.
I like it.
It's probably a switch. Good luck, Steve.
Thanks for your help, guys.
Bye-bye.
It could be right there, you know, right in the door.
Well, the thing that came to mind is it could be where the wires go through the A-pillar.
Exactly.
Into the door. It could be that the body is flexing enough right there to cause, because those wires break after a number of years. And it could be that the problem is right. Steve, are you there? That the problem is right at the door itself.
I think so, too. That would be nice.
It would be. It would be lucky for Steve.
It would be certainly easy to look.
In fact, those wires run through a rubber, looks like a little concertina.
Yeah.
And
if you cut that
thing open, you'll probably see a couple of wires are broken in there, and they're touching and grounding out.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be.
Takes a little piece of black tape, wraps it up, and the thing is fixed.
Would be. It's...
Fetch.
Yes. It doesn't sound like it. Okay, look, we have to take a short break, but when we come back, I'll have the answer to last week's puzzle, so stay tuned.
Where are we going?
I have no idea.
And even though Nina Totenberg beats her click and clack bobbleheads with a microphone whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers.
We are consummate professionals. My brother's sitting here eating soup.
You know, I'm sick. I have to have chicken soup, but I'm sick.
It's dripping down his chin, going down his chest.
That's why I wear these V-neck T-shirts. First of all,
you're not supposed to eat in the studio.
Oh. Well, anyway,
I don't want to have to tell you this again.
Here's the answer to last week's puzzle. Do you remember last week's puzzle?
It had something to do with Germany.
There you go. Okay, now I gave a lot of
hints. Or was it Russia?
And you didn't. That was War and Peace. And you didn't participate when I remember when I stated the puzzle. You were quite quiet.
I was.
Yeah, you didn't. Usually, you interject. You interrupt. You interfere. Disrupt.
Well, remind me what it was.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why I was like that.
Sometime in the late 1930s in Germany, and perhaps other countries as well, aeronautical engineers. Now, this thing is rife with hints. This puzzler is. Aeronautical engineers were working on a device. The device, get this, took water vapor, which is one of the byproducts of gasoline engine combustion, and would condense it into water and save it. And it would save it in such a way so that the amount of water saved would be exactly equivalent in weight
to the amount of fuel burned.
There you go.
Right. And I said, I remember saying something like that way the weight of the plane would remain constant.
You did say that.
Yeah.
Why would you want it to remain constant?
And the only thing I could think of was that it must have been a weapon of some kind. And you wanted the weight to remain constant because there was some kind of a guidance system which wouldn't work properly if the weight kept changing.
Buzz bombs you're thinking of, right?
Something like that.
No, that's not it either.
Nothing like that, huh?
So, as you might guess, as the engine burned a pound of fuel, a pound of water would be saved, right? You've come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
And the rest would be discarded, of course. The question is, why would you want to do this? That was the question. And obviously, you've come upon weaponry, which is not it. Airplanes, which is not it. Our engineer, Jonathan Marston, came up with submarines. Ooh, that's good,
that
huh?
would be good.
Except, why would you want to save water?
But
you're
not,
what? Immersed in water.
You said aeronautical.
There you go.
And submarines aren't aeronautical, John.
Well, he wasn't paying attention. He's engineering the show, damn it. He's got a lot of other important things to do. But he got the gist of it.
Yeah.
But he was close, I said.
Oh, dirigibles.
Exactly.
Of course.
At that time, they had switched over from hydrogen as the levitating medium, which was a little dangerous, to helium, which was much safer, but very expensive.
Yeah.
And needless to say, as you consume fuel and the craft becomes lighter and lighter,
you got to spew the stuff out.
You got to spew the stuff out, but you can't do that because it's expensive. So what you want to do is save some of the byproducts so you keep the weight of the vehicle the same.
I love it.
Isn't it great? Dale Margie sent that in.
Actually, he's answered for me a question I've been struggling with for these many minutes, which was the stoichiometry involved. That assumes, the whole question and answer assumes, that you produce far more water.
It's 18 to 1.
Really?
18 pounds of water.
No.
To every pound of... And that is the source of the greenhouse effect. Okay, well, who's going to win our fabulous prize this week, Tommy?
The winner is Melissa Glasser from Marion, Iowa. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Melissa is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which she can get our summer Car Talk baseball cap, perfect for those bad hair days, or in my brother's case, no hair days.
I do have a lot of those.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to have a new, I can't describe it yet because I haven't figured out which puzzle I'm going to use for the season finale.
I was wondering about that. It is the season finale.
Yeah. Well, you missed, this is the seventh game, man. You missed the playoffs. You missed everything.
I did.
So don't tune us out yet because that's coming up, baby. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Melissa. I'm calling you from Juneau, Alaska.
Melissa.
Melissa from Juneau.
Mm-hmm.
And what, pray tell, might the temperature be in Juneau
today?
Oh,
it's lovely.
It's about 56 degrees, and it's cloudy, and when it's cloudy like this, the blues and the glacier come out really gorgeous.
Oh, isn't that nice?
In the glacier.
The glacier. The blues and the glacier.
Yes.
I mean, is there snow everywhere right now?
No, the snow's gone.
No, there's still snow up at the top of the mountains.
Oh, but not on the streets.
No, oh, good heavens.
Well, you do have streets.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and boats.
And
cars.
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
And you have a question about your car.
Well, my car has a story.
Oh, I thought this was just a weather report.
Well,
what's the question, Melissa?
I have a 79 Olds Toronado diesel, and my husband and I decided that we would go ahead and do this trade, and I would trade him my Oldsmobile for the aluminum skiff and a Marlin 30-30 rifle so I can go deer hunting this fall because he's going to move down south with his girlfriend.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Marlin 30.
Who? What? Can you run this by us again?
You're going to make a trade. Did you say husband?
Yes.
Husband.
And girlfriend in the same paragraph?
Yes.
So you're taking the diesel and you're giving him the
skiff. No, she's giving him the diesel.
I have the diesel.
Oh, and you're getting the skiff?
I'm getting the skiff and the rifle. So
the rifle?
Deer
and,
hunting.
Oh, he's getting the girlfriend. He's getting the Toronado and the girlfriend.
He already has the girlfriend, but he's getting the old.
Yeah. And he's doing this, like, with your blessing, so to speak, or not exactly?
Well, there's more. We did the trade, okay?
Yeah.
We did the trade.
You did
he
the
spent
trade.
2 hours rowing the skiff, the girlfriend, and the gun to my boat harbor. And when he got here, we did the exchange for the title, and girlfriend got in the car.
I mean, did he go for, like, an 18-year-old bimbo or what?
Oh, no. She's the same age as us.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, it's none of our business, actually.
Well,
but you did bring it up.
You've made it out. You could have left that component out of the story.
You could have. Right.
You chose not to.
Yeah. So don't blame us if we probe on the interesting aspects of your question.
Oh, sure.
And
no
your
problem.
Relationship.
Okay. Yeah. I put her in the car. She sits in the car, and she jinxes the thing.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh is right. Because the night before, I drove around taking my things out of the car, you know, all the boxes of clothes that were in the trunk and papers and everything. So I had spent a good hour and a half the night before driving this car.
Yeah.
And I brought it home and I parked it. So in the morning when they arrive, you know, put girlfriend in car, shut door, go back to the back, sign title, give title to husband. Husband gets in the car, starts it up, and it sounds like there's a rock in the flywheel.
Uh-oh.
Mm.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh is
so,
right.
Yeah, she's a jinx.
It's making this noise.
Also, did this nullify the trade?
Well, it has in the meantime.
Oh, sure. I mean. Mm.
He drove it. It's about 4 miles from my place to his. He drove it over there, had me follow him to make sure they get there.
In the skiff?
No.
In the pickup?
I have a Buick. I followed him in my Buick, and he drove the Olds. And by the time he got that 4 miles, there was no forward or reverse in the car. He took it out of forward to put it into reverse to park it, and he couldn't get any gears out of it whatsoever.
Yeah, that's because the flex plate broke. That's the plate that connects the flywheel, connects the crankshaft of the engine to the torque converter of the transmission. Clanging that you heard was that thing had cracked.
Well, wait. By the time he got down there to his place, it wasn't making that noise anymore.
No, because the piece that was making the noise broke off completely, and the engine was, if he shut it off, he would be unable to restart it. Was that true?
No, that's not true. He has been able to.
Okay, well, I suppose.
And actually, what he told me is that he can drive it for short distances until such time as he thinks that it warms back up again, and then he loses it.
No, it may be the torque converter that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a couple of other things, too.
Yeah, fill us in.
One is that a bolt had fallen out.
Ah,
just one?
Apparently one had fallen completely out. One was backed out, and there were some that were loose. So he tightened all of those.
So he crawled under there and looked at the transmission. And
he changed the filter and the fluid in it.
Oh, he did do that. Okay.
And then after he got done with all that, he said, here, take the beep thing back and give me back my gun and my skiff.
And take the girlfriend, too. I don't want her anymore. She's a jinx.
No, he doesn't think she's a jinx. I do.
Oh. I'm just curious to know where these bolts came from, but you don't know the answer to that. If the bolts...
It's supposedly the bolts that hold the tranny on the back of the engine.
But the noise occurred, the initial noise occurred when he just started the car.
When he started it
before
up.
He even put it in gear and tried to move.
Right,
now,
right.
I mean, I'm gonna have to stick with the problem is definitely either in the torque converter or in the flex plate.
Okay.
Well, here's what you need to do. You need to have your mechanic take the tranny out.
Well, see, he's already told me it's going to be $450 to do something like that.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, and the question is, do you spend that kind of money?
On this car.
Well, how much would it cost to buy a skiff and a 30-30 rifle?
About the $400 it would take to fix the tranny.
Tell him to keep the car.
No, but then you'll be without a car.
Right.
She was going to be without a car anyway. She just traded the damn car for the skiff.
Right.
And the gun.
There you go. That's right.
So forget about it.
Yes.
If he wants to fix it, tell him he's got a skiff now, he's got a 30-30 rifle, and he's got
a
Toronado diesel if he wants it. Okay. But the deal is off, obviously. The deal is off.
Right, but so it's not worth it to fix the car.
No. Yeah, and when the girlfriend dumps him, he'll come crawling back.
The girlfriend's going to dump him down south. He doesn't know it yet, but the rest of us do.
Everyone else knows it. We know it.
He'll be in your country, and he'll probably come crawling to you guys instead.
He probably will. He'll probably have a Toronado diesel he wants us to fix.
He probably will.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, Melissa. Happy hunting, as they say.
Oh, thank you.
And don't shoot yourself in the foot.
I'm too good to do that.
All right.
Cool.
All right.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Eric from Winona, Minnesota.
Hi, Eric.
Winona. That must be E-R-I-C then.
That's correct.
Winona, Minnesota.
Eric Peterson.
Oh, good Swedish name.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you betcha. Yeah.
You a ski jumper?
You bet, yeah.
No, yeah, what's up, Eric?
Me no ski.
You no ski?
Me
oh,
no
good.
Ski.
Good, you have all your limbs intact then.
Yes, I'm mobile today.
Good.
Say, I got a problem.
Yeah.
I have a lot of problems, but we'll start here. I have a 1988 Plymouth Reliant station wagon.
Yeah, right. You do have a lot of problems.
Actually, it's been a great car. The car's been terrific.
Oh, I wouldn't.
Well, compared to his Rambler that he had before this, it's been great.
It's been a good car.
Okay,
we bought it new in June of 88.
Of 84.
So we bought it new, but it had been on the lot for quite a while.
Uh-huh.
And it has always had problems with the air conditioner. The problem has not been the same over the years, but it's always had problems with the air conditioner, starting with the bees.
The bees.
The bees.
Oh.
When we purchased the car, it had been on a lot for quite a while. And a wasp family had built their nest next to the air intake on the air conditioner. And when we would drive it with the air conditioner on, it would shoot live baby bees in our face.
Jeez.
Isn't
wow.
that sweet?
And I found the wasp nest and removed it, and within a week we had gotten rid of all the baby bees.
Yeah, interesting. That's good.
But the new problem that I wanted to call and ask you about is that we are experiencing flash flooding in the car. Toward the end of last summer, we noticed that the air conditioner was not cooling the car as much as it should.
Yeah.
And we also noticed that water was dripping out of the floor vents, the air conditioner floor vents.
Yeah.
And it was just a drop or two at a time, and then it got more and more and more. Well, then this spring, when I took the car in to have it charged, the AC charged, I asked the guy, I said, I'm getting water dripping out of the floor vents for the air conditioner. And he said that they were water vapor was collecting on the evaporator, is what he told me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that by recharging the air conditioner, it should take care of the problem.
Well, nay.
I did not believe him.
Nay. I mean, in fact, the evaporator is supposed to
make water.
Exactly.
Water vapor. It's supposed to turn water vapor into liquid water.
That's what I thought,
and that's
why I didn't believe him.
Is supposed to be discharged under the car, crawl under a neighbor's car. You'll notice that hopefully everyone else who has air conditioning, has water dripping out of the bottom of his car when the engine is running and the AC is on.
That's what our car used to do.
And it used to do that until that thing got plugged up with bee bodies or whatever.
Exactly.
Twigs, leaves, fur, who knows what's in there. But that little drain, that evaporator drain, got plugged up so that the water that's being removed from the cabin while the air conditioner is running can't drain out, collects in the pan, and then when you make a corner, for example, and allow centrifugal force to throw the water, it spills out on your shoes.
Exactly. That's exactly what happens when I make
it. So did you have it recharged?
I did have it recharged.
And is it still dripping water?
Oh, it's worse than ever.
Oh, it's worse than ever.
It's worse than ever. That's exactly what it should be.
Is it worse than ever?
It's worse than ever.
It's very much worse than ever.
The reason it's worse than ever is that you are now creating more water because the air conditioner is working more efficiently.
Right.
Because it has this is why I did not believe him when he told me it would be better.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
Now, where is the drain for the evaporator?
It's underneath the car. If you were to get under the car and look around the area of the firewall, okay, right below, where the air conditioner unit is located. So the evaporator is inside the car.
Right.
Okay, and that pipe or a little rubber tube that allows the water to escape comes out of the point where the floor pan and the firewall meet.
So you'll see a rubber tube down there.
Right.
Which is designed to have the end close up so that things can't crawl in it, but the pressure of the water on it will open it up. You need to just blow compressed air in there and stand back, baby, because when you do, everything's going to come flying out of there. And you may have to do it more than once.
Now, where will it come flying out of? Will it blow into the cabin?
Under the car. It'll come out on the ground.
I see.
Once you've cleaned it out, if you've done it correctly, the water will continue to come out of there forevermore.
All right.
Well, have your guy at the gas station blow out the drain. He'll know exactly what to do.
Blow out the drain.
Blow out the drain.
Sounds good.
See you, Eric.
Yep, thanks much.
All right.
Good luck.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, look, before we press on with this week's new puzzle, we have to take a short break so my brother can collect his thoughts.
Yeah, I'm going to collect my thoughts.
It's kind of like collecting leaves.
Yeah.
In a hurricane.
We'll be back with more of your calls and a new puzzler in just a minute, so don't go anywhere. Got out really early from the factory, driving like a nutter in the rain. I don't think I was acting so hysterically, but I didn't see a thing until it came. Let the dumpster bubbles in the takeaway, beating up the shiny at the counter. Put a few inside me. And even though the insurance company tries to cancel NPR's plate glass window coverage, every time they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler, and I might add the last puzzler of the season.
Of the automotive season.
Yes, the automotive season. This was sent in by a fellow named Dave Moran, and I think it's a fitting last puzzler of the season puzzle.
Mm. Go ahead.
He says, I just made this up. It turns out there's a fancy French restaurant cafe called Café Pretension.
Pretension.
Pretension, oui, oui, of course.
But of course.
And they had started a new promotion. And it was the following. On their anniversary, a married couple purchasing an entree at full price, actually 150% of full price, would get the second entree free. The promotion turned out to be a huge success. The restaurant, of course, required diners to bring some proof of the date of their anniversary to receive the discount. Yeah. So if you're there dining and you say, oh, today's our anniversary, you get one entree for free.
Yeah.
One Wednesday night, a waiter came to Francois, the owner, and said, boss, that couple over there is claiming that today is their anniversary, but they don't have any proof. Francois went over and introduced himself and engaged in a little tete-a-tete, with them and tete-a-tetes. And Francois asked the woman, tell me a little bit about your wedding day. And she says, it was a beautiful Sunday morning. The birds were chirping as I opened my window to prepare to get ready for my wedding.
Yeah.
I saw the flowers in bloom. It was spectacular. She goes on to explain to Francois that today is their 28th wedding anniversary.
Right.
He says, oh, how charming. But unfortunately, you do not qualify.
Wow. Did he also say, did you used to have...
He says, I don't believe that today is your 28th wedding anniversary. He says, you're a bald-faced liar. And he slaps her across the face, at the same time spilling her husband's vichyssoise onto his lap.
I got it, man. I can visualize the whole scene.
How did Francois know
that
today was not their wedding anniversary? Now, if you think you know the answer,
very good.
Write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can do an electronic funds transfer and email your answer on a $20 bill to us from cartalk.com.
Wow.
If you'd like to converse with us at this very moment, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hey, who's this?
This is Ed calling from Wilmington.
Wilmington, Delaware?
Wilmington, Mass. Yeah, just up the street.
Right up the street.
Yeah, in fact, I worked in your fair city for 36 years at the university, so I...
Which one?
Right, a local guy.
Yeah.
You mean the one in the square?
Yeah, down the square. I worked right near there.
No kidding.
Yeah, I used to work there. I just retired. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about this car. It's an 85
Chrysler New Yorker with a turbo 2.2 engine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We inherited it from my wife's aunt. It's in beautiful shape.
Is it blue?
Yeah.
They're all
blue. That kind of dark blue that looks like gray.
Is the trunk all faded?
No, it's in beautiful shape. It's all been
correct. You want to sell the trunk? Because, we need a trunklet. Dad has exactly the same car.
Yeah.
Our dad has the same car.
Uh-huh.
The paint on his trunk is all faded, so if we can talk you out of this car, we'll buy it from you for $100. So go ahead, anyway.
Anyway, there's a but that goes with all this.
Yeah, but. It runs great, it's in beautiful shape, but.
But, when you park it on a hill, put it in park, it's near impossible to get out. Now, I came up with a plan, you see.
Good.
The plan was, on a hill, if you're parallel parked, just let the car roll in front of to the car in front of you and leave it neutral.
And hope he doesn't leave before you.
Right. You're all set, except there's a couple of flaws in the plan.
One, if the guy
sees you doing it, he won't like it.
No.
And if he should leave before you, you're in deep trouble.
Yeah.
The question is, why is this happening? It's very I'm afraid we're going to break the shift linkage trying to get it out of park.
Well, you might.
Well,
yeah,
some cars are difficult, especially front-wheel drive cars.
Yeah.
Seem to be difficult to get out of park if they're facing up or downhill.
It seems to me like it's a design
flaw. It is a design thing, and here's the way to fix it without fixing it.
Yeah.
Before you put the thing in park, you set the handbrake.
Oh, I've done that.
In other words, you leave your foot brake on, you step on the handbrake, which is a foot pedal on this thing, and then... When you've let the car roll as far as it wants to roll in under those conditions, you then put it in park.
I've done that.
And that doesn't work?
It works fine. The only thing is I have this inherent distrust of parking brakes. I'm sorry.
If you do this, you don't have to really trust the parking brake.
Because you
have the parking brake, which is holding the car, but you also have the transmission holding the car.
Yes, yes.
Except that the transmission is acting as a backup now for the parking brake.
Right. So if the parking brake should fail, the transmission will keep you from rolling.
Right.
But you won't be in the trouble that you're in because it will be easy to get out of park.
I know that. Yes, I've tried
and
that.
And then when you go to leave the spot, you start the engine, you put it in drive or reverse or whatever, and then you release the emergency brake.
Well, what I was looking for is a fix for the problem.
You don't want to know the fix.
Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, new transmission, what?
Sure. But, short of spending real money on this thing and maybe not even fixing it to your satisfaction, I would use the technique you've been using.
So that's the only suggestion?
I think so.
I guess that's about the size. But I wanted to see if you'd heard anything like, if there'd been a problem with these right along that could be fixed.
Well, I don't think so, but I'm sure we'll get calls from about 500 transmission shops.
Yeah. If we do, we'll call you back and let you know what they
say. All right.
See you, Ed.
Thanks for calling, Ed.
Terrific talking with you.
Bye-bye.
Same here.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. Before you confuse another poor unsuspecting caller, would you mind if I dip into the old mailbag?
What do you mean, unsuspecting caller? They call us! They know what they're getting into.
This is good. This is really good. Dear Click and Clack, this is from Dan O'Brien of Rapid City, South Dakota. While visiting the campus of the University of South Dakota, an unsettling event occurred that I think you should be aware of. This visit took place last fall, just after the national media had revealed research confirming that listening to Mozart can temporarily raise a person's IQ.
Oh, temporarily?
Yeah,
and it has to be Mozart.
A copy of the article, it shows that students who listen to Mozart for 10 minutes got higher grades in exams than students who hadn't. It was a controlled test. It was proven. It's proven, man.
All right.
Well, there I was on campus wearing my Car Talk t-shirt when this extremely upset co-ed came racing up to me. She pointed at my shirt and screamed, "Them! They're the ones!" That's us.
Oh.
Of course, this got my attention. She seemed so distraught that I asked her if I could buy her a cup of coffee. She accepted my invitation and over the next half hour related to me a woeful tale that I think you should know about.
I guess so.
It seems that she had an accounting exam the previous week. She claims that she was absolutely certain that she could get a B on the exam and maybe even an A. Actually, she got a C.
Mm.
She attributed her poor performance to the fact that she had heard the report about listening to Mozart having the power to raise a person's IQ. And on her drive to class, she figured, what the heck, it's worth a try. She turned on NPR, where she knew they played a lot of Mozart. Trouble is, she got Car Talk instead. She claims that listening to you guys lowered her IQ and caused her to get a C. I thought you'd want to know this, and the legal ramifications could be frightening.
Yes, they could
be. Maybe you guys should have a disclaimer
at the beginning of your show to keep out of trouble. How about this? Caution. Listening to car talk may damage brain cells. Do not take exams within 24 hours of listening to this program.
Or operate heavy machinery.
We have the power to drop IQs. Isn't that interesting?
Mine's been dropping precipitously ever since I started doing
the
show.
The interesting thing is, I guess mechanics all listen to this show. Because is that how they got? No.
No. No. Anyway.
When you get down to single digits, then you can become a mechanic.
There's no place to go but up. You remember, my brother sits around all day doing nothing but reading stuff
That's it. That's what I do.
So if you measure up to at least this standard, you can mail him something at Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238. Or if you can't get to the postage meter because someone else in the office is hoarding it, you can always email us at cartalk.com. Now, if you'd rather use the phone and insult us personally, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Diane from Portland, Oregon.
I just have to warn you, Diane. You sound like a nice person, and we know for a fact that we have already dished out at least three correct answers today.
And that's two and above our limit.
That's way over our national average. So the chances of your getting a correct answer have diminished considerably, even though all the problematicians would not believe that.
So
what's the question?
Shoot, Diane.
I need some help from you two understanding the inner rings of the male psyche when it comes to cars.
This one will give you the right answer on, because if there's anything we understand, it's the male psyche.
That's what I called.
No, male psycho.
That may apply here.
That may apply. Okay, go ahead.
You got to understand, I have been married for coming up on 24 years. And I've known my husband, Greg, for close to 29. And he threw out this comment to me as we were driving one night that totally baffled me. I need to give you a little bit of background. We had this defining moment this spring in our car history when our 17-year-old son totaled one of our cars. Unfortunately, he totaled the wrong car in my eyes. Mm. What we had was an Acura Vigor, pristine shape, and I was driving my second Caravan.
Oh, gee. So, and he racked up the Vigor. What a fathead.
No, he's a good kid.
I understand, but he's 17 years old. By definition, he's a fathead. But we'll get to that later.
So we had this complete change out of our cars. We bought a new Acura, and the guys at the Acura place were great. We said to them, you know, we're trying to find an old tank for our son, and so they kind of kept their eyes open, and they called us, and they said, we found this Beamer, this 94 Beamer. Why don't you come see it? We swapped out my Caravan for the Beamer, and that's what my husband's driving. So we're driving one night in the Beamer, and my husband says, I love this car. And I said, I thought you hated Beamers. He said, I don't hate Beamers. I love the Beamer smell.
Oh.
I said, what?
What smell, you said?
He said, Beamers have a distinct smell.
Absolutely. They smell like the locker room. This reminds him of his junior high school locker room.
Now you got to understand, I'm a cookbook author. I know smells. I can smell brownies baking a mile away.
You can't smell a Beamer, though. Beamers have a distinctive smell, which, by the way, I can't stand.
We can't even tell you what it's coming from.
We can.
I mean, and despite the fact that you claim some kind of superior olfactory skill.
You may be able to detect a burning brownie, but you are missing the Beamer smell.
This is an interesting juxtaposition here of skills, because there is no question that women have a better sense of smell than men. Undeniable.
Right. That's
proven.
That's how they get us to shower.
It's been proven in the laboratory. And now, so we get this dichotomy of smell versus male psyche. And we know nothing about smells because we're guys. And your husband really knows nothing about smells. But in this case, he's right, because we all know that it exists.
Well,
and I'm shocked that you don't get it.
I think the brownies have ruined your olfactory nerves.
Right, you're burned out, baby.
You're burned out.
You can't get burned out on chocolate.
Yeah,
you
made.
Can't do.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you've been smelling too many onions.
You made one too many creme brulees. But every BMW I get into, I can't stand the smell of.
No, huh?
No, especially the newer ones. There's something about either the plastic or the leather they use. Doug Berman, who owns a BMW, is shaking his head. Yeah. It smells of dog puke.
And that's pretty distinctive, too.
So you think I need to sit in, like, 10 Beamers?
Here's how you get, if you want to get the full effect of the smell, you need to take the hottest summer day.
Yeah.
And you need to park this in direct sunlight with everything
closed.
And then you have to open. Then I would wait until it cooled off a little bit so you could stay in the car long enough to smell it.
I would do this naked.
And then
so you can get the full effect of those hot leather seats.
Yeah. Well, you have to at least be wearing shorts. And then you have to get in the car, and then you can't drive. You just have to sit there and just breathe deeply.
Yeah.
And breathe, obviously, just through your nose and relax. It might do you good to chant a little bit, and you will smell. You'll say, "Oh yes,
yeah,
I smell the smell," and it smells like, to me, a locker room.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's a smell that I think most males probably like, but I don't like it.
Jeez, All right, I feel like I have to now go crawling back to my hubby and say you're right.
Of course.
Well, you do.
He called us yesterday.
Sent us $20.
Say it, Diane.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Bye, bye. Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Budapest Pigeon Breast Orange Zest Ice Cream Chest Minty Crest and Rest High Test Calorie Quest is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our Ralph Cramden impersonator from the Dubai office is Mohammed Ahamada Hamada. Our exhaust manifold specialist is Manny Burns. Our conspiracy theorist is Nadia Bellimi. Our Russian chauffeur is Pekoff and Dropoff. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian Albin Heard before. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, and the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the vegetarian hot dog vendors in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1427, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, let's say you're someone who just can't get enough Car Talk. Okay, let's say you have a long flight coming up and the alternative is talking to your mother-in-law.
Okay.
Well, you can now get Car Talk on Google Play and Amazon in addition to iTunes. Check out staff favorites, search the archives, or play Angry Birds instead. See if we care. Find links to all of our previous shows over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though mayors in at least two villages look up and say, "Are we missing our idiot?" whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.